Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Route, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between food production and food consumption. Checking in from North Spring Valley, Nevada, Hank Vogler.
Howdy, mister.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Nope. Can't hear you, caller. We'll go on to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. You're live on the drive at 5 with Trent.
Egolo, no la sida.
I have no idea what you said, nor do I like the way you said it.
I said, good morning, how are you in Basque?
Oh, I need to learn that. I need to learn Basque because that would come in so handy for me.
Martin.
Go ahead.
Martin Madriatis said, no, never speak the Basque. You can go nowhere. You need to learn language everybody know.
So our youngest is home from college. Great time. Mom and Dad are pretty happy about that. But anyway, on the night she got home, which was Thursday, we went to a friend's place, a friend who went to school. He's from Nebraska, 12 miles from here, in fact. Kirk Zeller is his name. He went to school in Japan. He does business in Japan, and he's got a real appreciation and respect for Japanese culture. And his wife is from Japan, and so he's talking to his kids in Japanese. And when we get there, and Landry, on the way home, she said, he was talking for like 3 or 4 minutes, and I'm thinking, I know Spanish, but I don't recognize a single word. Then she figured out, well, it's not Spanish.
Even in China, there's 56 different dialects. In some places, you have to speak 4 different languages just to get along in your hometown.
That's crazy.
So, and Mao was whether he knew what he was doing or not, I think time has kind of played that hand out. They have, according to what my wife tells me, that they all have the same time zone. That's a huge country. Can you imagine having the same time zone in America? And also, Mao was Mandarin, so he demanded everybody speak Mandarin. But the people on the coast of China, spoke Cantonese, which is different, very different.
Mm.
It's strange places.
I know nothing about the origin of the people of Asia. All I know is part of them escaped and came here to be American Indians. That's all I know.
Well, all I know is that their culture is several thousand years old, and they've been some ups and downs and some things that maybe we should learn from history, too, that this, what happens when you don't pay attention, or what happens when somebody comes along with a snappy new political byline. You talk about your daughter coming home from campus. Did she have riots on her campus?
No. They won't have riots on her campus.
And yeah, again, what's the deal? I saw the riots in the 60s. Kent State was a kind of a watershed for a lot of things. There'd already been lots of riots. People had marched to Washington, D.C. and caused a lot more trouble than January 6th, I think. Maybe they didn't get into the legislative building, but I'm sure if they could have, they would have. But when Kent State came along, I was at little old University of Nevada at Reno at that time. And there were kids in engineering and agriculture that had to carry 18 hours a semester to graduate in 4 years. It was in the spring of the year, of course. And I don't know of anybody that thought the National Guard shooting those kids at Kent State was a good thing. Wasn't there. Don't know what happened. But people showed up overnight. That was the from nowhere. Not Black Lives Matter, but groups with all sorts of axes to grind. Black power people, I mean, you name it, showed up and tried to shut our campus down like 6 weeks or less before graduation. Kids were in ROTC.
It was May 4th, 1970. So it was anniversary was this past Saturday.
Yeah. It was, you know, and maybe I was reflecting on that. But anyhow, they showed up and demanded we shut the campus down. Well, several of us from agriculture and engineering went to the meeting, and we were all in favor of writing a letter condemning what had happened at Kent State to the man. There was no problem with that. But to shut our campus down, there were kids that were enrolled in ROTC that were going to be in on their summer vacation in Vietnam very shortly. And all sorts of commitments that had to be made. And all we asked is we would send in the letter with them. We would go along with them saying that this was a travesty, but not shut the campus down. The next day, the poor little old Maxie Fleshman College of Agriculture was surrounded with picketers. And a young gentleman with a bright red hair bushed out, kind of like, you know, about 8 feet wide, or not 8 feet, but anyhow, very different looking. Did not look like a kid on campus. I'd never seen him. And it was a small university, so you pretty well knew everybody. He took the American flag off of the building and threw it down to great cheers. And Dr. Lesperance comes smoking out the door and chucked him off the balcony. Kind of broke up their little picketing. But, I mean, and then he walked down there, picked up the American flag, and put it back in its holster. So, the organization was too darn quick, is what I'm saying. There were people that were there that had nothing to do with that university except troublemakers. So even back then, somebody had to be supporting that crap.
Yeah. I bet they weren't paid $2,400 to show up, though.
Well, I don't know what they were, but I mean, they showed up from all directions with all sorts of, we're mad at this, we're mad at that, you got to change this, and your racial prejudice, all that kind of stuff. It was just insane. And it always, and it looks like the same batch of people, except they got gray hair or something, and this is their kids or grandkids that are doing. I mean, I think there's more crap going on than we'll ever know.
Yeah, I see some crap going on in my front yard too. There's a couple heifers right in front of my window. Do you think, you know, you've motivated me to do a little poll today with my own daughters. What were they taught about Kent State? What do they know? I want to know what they know.
Yeah. Like I say, it was a watershed. There's no question about it. There was riots. There was lots of things going on, people died over the protests. Now, peaceful protests, marching, any of those kind of things is it's boilerplate. I think you can do that at any time. One person could protest in front of an abortion clinic if he wants. But if he burns it down, he should be put in jail.
Yeah, right.
They should not be allowed to destroy private property. And that's the insanity of it all. I don't know. It seems like deja vu all over again, according to Yogi Berra. So
I'm going to make the assumption that they just weren't even taught about it. But I'll find out today.
I'd bet that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it, you know, making up one semester, I believe in liberal arts part of the college, they only had to pack about 14 hours a semester. But in agriculture and engineering, they had to pack 17. which was very hard to make up, plus the commitments people had made. And turning out their senior year was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I mean, what astonished me is from reading about it, everybody gathered not on the quad, but on the face of this little lake there to listen to speakers to talk about it. And I mean, it was pretty calm deal. And then all of a sudden, boom. But the people that you saw that were beating the drum, they were not from our school. It was, yeah, they darn sure were from agriculture and engineering.
That's definitely the case today. Hank Vogler, Roll Route. We're back with more after this. Don't forget about the most tender beef on the planet, certified Piedmontese. Order at cpbeef.com. Welcome back, Roll Route. Trent Luce alongside Hank Vogler. I'm winded. Could you just take over? I had to go chase a heifer during the birth, like 12 of them, actually.
When you put your heifers in the yard to eat the weeds, you should have got some sheep. That's kind of, it was my inspiration. I was tired of pulling weeds around the house on the ranch I was on in Eastern Oregon. And being I had these sheep, and they seemed to be quite accommodating as weed eaters. I had to build a fence around the yard to keep them out of it. But other than that, I had a weed-eating machine there for a long time. So there.
So I've been lobbying for
heifers, your premise. Heifers, right? Can smell an open gate.
Yeah. Well, in this
heifers
case,
can smell an open gate 5 miles away.
I know. I don't understand that. But I've been lobbying for sheep. This will not be the moment that I'm going to reinstitute the lobbying effort. I'm just going to let it set, because when during the break I saw Kelly out in my yard chasing those heifers, I knew that I needed to take a break. So that's where we're at.
Well, that shows your maturity. When you see that look in your eye of your wife, and it's not a look of passion, you keep your head down and you just keep moving along. That shows that you've progressed, lad.
31 years. 31 years.
Wow. That's kind of a coincidence. I've been married 31 times. So
I'll just let that set.
Maybe. No, not really.
You're probably approaching a landmark with Way setting a new record for a number of years married to one woman.
That was getting real close. What did George Jones? I finally put the golden band on the right left hand this time.
Was that a theme song at Kent State in 1970? Because I don't remember that one.
No, it's just an old George Jones song. I put the golden band on the right left hand this time. Yep. So
anyhow, I don't remember.
No, Kent State was what it was.
Yeah. I think this comes out of that era, and that era being the 60s and what was going on at Woodstock and Kent State. But I saw over the weekend that the state of Missouri gathered twice the number of signatures needed, and they're reporting 380,000. Now, those aren't confirmed signatures. That's just what they're reporting. To get on the ballot this fall, an abortion ban. Excuse me, I misstated that. And that's what's so confusing. You got to read and reread and know exactly what you're reading, but it is an abortion ban on banning abortion instead of, I mean, so that making it legal until 24 weeks. Hank, I just don't understand how men or women, either one, can be such zealots and so celebratory and taking a life, period. A life that you created by your actions, and then you want the ability to just kill it. I don't get it. I can't in any way, shape, or form get my mind around how so many people support this.
Well, it was a watershed. in the early 60s and into the early 70s, birth control was pretty limited. Women's rights was the theme that Watch Us Roar and all of the RESPECT, all those songs were coming out. And it just became a symbol of women's rights. I don't know what anybody goes through, the man or the woman, to decide, well, this is how we're going to handle this. I don't know it is going to be controversial till the end of time. But especially those late term abortions, abortion of any kind seems a little ridiculous, especially with the fact that we now have birth control. But it was a symbol of the whole women's movement that we're in control of our own body. And it was ingrained in those folks that were part of that. They burned their bras, whatever they did. They went out and they marched for women's rights. And that became the center symbol. But again, the same thing that's going on now, a little different flavor. But they really didn't know that Margaret Sanger thought that this was the best way to have the abortion clinics to get rid of black people, brown people, and poor. That in her mind, as a complete racist, a genocidal racist, that this was the answer to overpopulation. And this was the answer to an underclass of people, which was, if people would have realized that, I think it might have changed some minds. I don't know. But it became the symbol of I'm in charge of my own body. And I have a lot of trouble with all of this on the count of my daughter was 18 days old the day I turned 18. So my dalliances and my girlfriend's dalliances, I don't know what would have happened had it instead of been 1966, if it was 1974. And my daughter is a fine member of our society, self-independent, and has her own life. What would have happened had those things been readily available? Yeah, if you knew where to go in Portland, Oregon, or some big town like that, there were people there that in those days that took care of those things. But you have to make decisions. But it was more than anything, people at that time, we want to be on an equal footing. Title IX, you know, how twisted is that now? To where if I'm a mediocre athlete on the track team and want to be on the girls' track team because I know I can outrun them, I suddenly want a transgender. I mean, that's kind of been watered down or twisted around, whatever. All this stuff is, there's always a radical inroad in everything that we do. Whether there were peaceniks in the Second World War, there were lots of people that did not want, they wanted isolationism. There's always been a minority view, but this is ridiculous to destroy a human life. And boy, if you've ever looked at a C-scan, they're alive. Their eyes are blinking. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't know how to handle it, but doggone it, the government is capitalizing on it, and they should not be. This should be an issue between a woman, a man, and a doctor. And we have plenty of birth control methods that does not include destroying human life.
Yeah, I mean, it's just 40 million a year. 40 million babies globally aborted a year. That number's astronomical. 40 million.
And I wonder what the statistics are of the people that are having them. Are they the elitists, or are they sort of the underclass that
there's Margaret not Sanger 40 million elites in the world.
Affecting poor people,
I think,
probably more proportionately than others.
That's a great question, and I'd like to know and pull that up, statistics on who gets an abortion. And I bet you they're people of color. I think the whole Planned Parenthood thing is playing out.
Well, if nothing else, I'm not so sure that we need to be federally supporting something like that at all. And we are. But then when you start looking under the covers of all these elitist universities, how do they get to be so wealthy? Well, they're government subsidized out the wazoo. Should we be doing that too? Given student loans and all these, it's like welfare. People learn how to beat the system of welfare. If you could suddenly graduate from high school, want to go on to college, and you could get the government loans to do it, and now get the government to forgive the loan. I mean, that, whoa, wait just a minute, you know? And everybody has a point. That's the deal.
So I have some data. 62, this is Pew data, so you can take it with a grain of salt or whatever, but it's a baseline and a place to start. 62% of Americans, they say, support the women's right, and that's how they phrase it, just to your point. Support the women's right to abortion. 36% of Americans say no. That's troubling that it's that wide of a spread. Of the people who have abortions, of the women who have abortions, 57%, this is in 2021, 57%, it's their first one, 24%, it's their second one, and 22%, it's their third one. Hank Bogler, Trent Luce, more. Second half, roll route just ahead. Welcome back, roll route, Trent Luce, alongside Hank Bogler. We're talking now about abortion because Missouri is announcing the movement to make abortion legal in Missouri to 24 months has garnered what they're saying, 380,000 signatures. They need 175,000 in order to get it on the ballot this fall. But if 62%, and I don't dispute that. I think it's a sad situation. But Hank, if you have one in four, 22% is pretty close to 25%. Of the women who have had an abortion in 2021, I've already had two before that. Wow.
They're using it for birth control. They're not, I mean, what's the, you know, I would think that the psychological issue of having that first one would at least make you think, well, you know, birth control pills, I remember, getting into my daughter's piggy bank and leaving her an IOU, tough times, to get the $2 that it cost for a month's supply of birth control pills. and I paid her back. I paid her back. But birth control was available. It wasn't in the early 60s. And it was a watershed for women's rights. And I don't blame them, but the irony is, all these years forward, the people that they're talking about, if they want some radical Islam, we should put the money together to get them on an airplane and dump them off in downtown Iran. Let them go find out how it's like to have about the same rights as a goat, where you can't go outside of your compound without a male adult escort of your own family. You have to be covered from head to toe. If you do something wrong, if you go out without your head being covered and everything, there's people walking the streets that'll beat you with a stick for it. Your husband can have four wives. I mean, all the things that they're advocating are so anti women's rights. It's unbelievable. And who fed them that male bovine fecal matter, that this was a better way, and that we should, you know, I mean, can you imagine? Talk about abortion. How about a little baby that the people from Hamas put in the oven and cooked while they were raping the mother? Now, Is that what we're protesting about on these campuses, that the Israelis don't have a right to defend themselves? I mean, they started out a long time ago with some issues. Moses' gig was to part the Red Sea to get the Israelites out of Egypt. And it's been that way. The Romans tried to destroy them. The Romans are the ones that called it Palestine. They called it Palestine because it was a bitter enemy of the people in the land of Canaan. They changed the name just to say, don't mess with us or we'll throw you in the with the lions with the Christians. I mean, the persecution was there. We've been given money. Excuse me. We give all this money to Yasser Arafat, who on his death was a billionaire. Did he help his people? No. He just kept beating the drum. It's those people's fault over there. It's those people's fault over there. If they were an open society, they should have outcompeted the Jewish people in Israel. But no, they got hospitals built with tunnels underneath to hide the weapons, to have the meeting rooms for Hamas. All that kind of stuff. I mean, there has got to be some logic taught. Tell them both sides of the story. No society is perfect. But this crap is, you know, it's just, it all gets lost in the shuffle. And people spend their entire life living off of the program. It's like a government program. The solution is the kryptonite to their species.
Yeah.
They don't want a solution. That's the deal. They're living off of the problem, not the solution.
So I went to North Dakota when the DAPL protest was happening. And we documented, you can find ads, that they were paying protesters $1,000 a day to show up and protest. And I went there and mingled with them for several hours. And it was pretty quick to determine that most people had no idea why they were protesting. And I'm betting that I could go to any one of these campuses, put a microphone in somebody and ask them, why are you really here? Why are you angry? And they would have no idea why they're there other than they're getting paid $2,400 to do it.
Well, and the question you need to ask is how many of those are rural kids?
Yeah, I know the answer to that
question. That had to make decisions when they were 9 years old when the tractor broke down and they had to walk back to the house or fix the tractor. How many kids grew up in rural areas? It's solutions that keep rural areas alive. We deal with solutions every day, whether it's the heifers eating mama's flowers around the house, or whether it's something more dramatic of how we're going to get enough money together because the price of corn is down substantially and the price of gasoline and parts are up. We deal with solutions each and every day. We cannot languish with the problem. We have to solve it. And kind of the same thing. If you're open your door in the morning and you get on a government-sponsored bus to go to the government-sponsored Underground Railroad to go to school in a government-sponsored building, and everything in your life is controlled by the government, you don't have much to worry about. And so this sort of, I guess it's a breaking out of finding a cause of your own and not having studied it hard enough to realize that it's not quite exactly what you're getting into. I think that's it in a nutshell. Zombies.
I think that government-sponsored transportation is a great, your term of the day, watershed moment. When people are in the city and relying on some government-sponsored entity to get them where they want to be, you completely lose the mindset of independence.
Yeah. And it just evolves and evolves and evolves, you know. And then one of the greatest problems of misidentification is when you have the people in charge that become elitists, they forget that they're not God. And they think they are, that they have a little tiny bit of power, mm-hmm. and they want to protect their power. We see it on a daily basis. All the different government entities that they have their little fiefdom, and it's an accident if they actually perform their job. I mean, even with the border, how can that Alejandro Mayorkas look anybody in the eye with the fentanyl issue, with the crime issues, all the things that are going on, because he's been mandated by whoever is in control of this government to throw the door open and don't stop them. That's a strange, strange thing.
And then blame somebody else.
Yeah. Blame somebody for what you're doing. Yep. It's just amazing. And then to have the news media, part of that news media, backing up the insanity of the whole program, or absolutely making the decision that because it would be political inept for their views to even mention it. So you just ignore it like it's not happening, you know. And again, back to my childhood days, living in the ghetto in Port Lalo, Reno, Nevada. Montello Street was kind of the center of the ghetto. Sutro was Proctor Hug High School. All this was in the ghetto. And when those riots broke out and the fire department went in there, black-owned business burning to the ground, where I've been to several times, traded that, but it was where I could afford my housing, going to school, and it's roped off, absolutely roped off. Wasn't on the news. Nobody even knew it was going on. And there were kids in there that could not go to school that were close to graduation for the simple reason is they had the wrong color of skin, and they just left them in there, and you could hear the shooting going on all night long. You kept your doors locked and your pistol by the door. You didn't know what was going to happen, but they absolutely roped her off, and nobody knew about it. And friends of mine who were going to school could not get out of there. And the professors thought they were lying to say, hey, the police won't let us out. That was amazing too. Maybe that was too far on the other end. But at some point in time, it is a privilege to be an American. Maybe you don't have to be as conservative as me, but it's a privilege. And if you don't like it here, by gosh, you want to have a government-sponsored program, put them on an airplane. Take them to where it's so much better. Bye-bye. How could George Soros, who is, my understanding is Jewish, who worked in a concentration camp for the Nazis, made a fortune shorting the British money, comes here and wants to destroy our government. And who gives him that right of citizenship or that right to be here? I mean, isn't that anarchy? Isn't that treason? And again, the argument immediately would be, depending on who was president, where would that line be drawn in the sand?
Yeah. I was told
we're supposed to have a judicial system.
We do not have a judicial system, but we'll pick it up over when we come back. Hank, I was told over the weekend I need to confirm it, so I'm letting you know this is what I was told. I'm going to confirm that 40% of the National Socialist funding came from George Soros's father. He's just now trying to finish what they started then. Back with the last segment. Roll right up just ahead. Let's talk about a happy moment instead of that. National Western. We're now talking about 2025, focused on how we can do even more to connect rural, urban food producers, food consumers. The Colorado consumers are asking questions. In fact, you know, Denver is talking about a ballot initiative that would end all slaughtering of animals inside the city limits this fall. That can only be perpetuated from ignorance. And so our job, recognizing the National Western, is after the vote. Our job is to educate people about where the food actually comes from and how important a domestic supply of food and fuel is for our future. With all of that said, there's a tremendous amount of festivities and heritage and history and competition, including grilling, including mounted shooting, and they might have a bovine critter or two at the National Western, not to mention an equine. It's all for you, and that's how I suggest you plan to kick off 2015. That was a Freudian slip. 2015 is gone, but try 2025. NationalWestern.com. See you in Denver. Welcome back. Roll route, Trent Lewis. We should have stayed on the fun topics of the day, like keeping the heifers from eating Kelly's flowers in the yard. You know, that's the problem. She has no problem with cows grazing the grass because we're behind. We need to mow the lawn. We haven't mowed it yet. And the cows have got tremendous feed there, but if they eat two flowers, it's not worth the hassle.
Oh boy.
So that's at least a fun topic. We could we had to veer from that.
I've been to that rodeo. Sold the t-shirts, you know. Yes. Did you know what your stupid sheep just did?
Yeah.
Well, who left the gate open? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Usually it's me that leaves the gate open. No gate was left open. We have a polywire, and the polywire is old enough now. It's getting some bad spots in it, and just self combust in places.
I see.
I stopped you before we went to the break about something, and I don't know now what it was.
Well, I was just thinking that. We were getting to the point where letting the government decide who can stay and who can't. The judicial system is supposed to be fair and equal. That's where we need to have some correction there, to where somebody that's truly treasonous, like Mr. Soros, now turning everything over to his son, who is absolutely festering anarchy. Well, okay, I have no qualms against, tell them to pack their tax, go back to some other country. We used to export people. We used to take people's right to be citizenship here for several different reasons. And now, no matter how treasonous, no matter how much evidence we have, we're busy trying to put Donald Trump behind bars for no other reason that he's running for president, and he looks like he can smoke Pinocchio Joe. And even with all the treacherous things that are done in those election returns, still it looks like he's going to beat him. And that's his problem. Trying to keep your wife from finding out about an affair, which I don't understand that enough. They said named Daniels, she signed a letter saying it never happened. But if you were in that position, somebody called up and says, I slept with Donald. Well, send him $100,000 and shut him up. Get a non-disclosure. I don't know. And then interfering in the election. You don't think Spotted Al Gore and the Hanging Chads back with George Bush wasn't a little bit of skullduggery somewhere in there? Our system of voting, we 2 weeks after the vote has been counted, that, oh, doggone it, we found 3 million ballots in this closet. Oh, there's only 800,000 registered voters? Well, that doesn't matter. We should count them. Oh, okay. Right here in Nevada, Trent, never get over it. I haven't been in a mail-in district for years and years and years because of the conveniency. They put me in this because of the isolation, the drive in to vote. I'll drive in to vote. That didn't matter to me. But I'm in a mail-in district. And when you've got a coffee table stacked high with all these so-called mail-in ballots that needed to be counted or not needed to be counted, and they decided to count them in Clark County, Nevada, and they had not one crease in them. You, in a mail-in district, the ballot is creased three times, and there's several envelopes. They are not flat. They are the day they're printed, I'm sure. But before they go in that envelope, they are folded. And here these stacks of them aren't folded. Obviously, the people looking at them had wanted to look the other way, wink, wink, or they didn't, or they didn't know what they were looking at. They were not creased. It was on the TV one time, and I don't know what happened to it, but it went away.
So this morning on Across the Pond, Andrew Henderson in the UK brought us up to speed on the mayoral election of London. Friday, when we did Across the Pond, he was talking about big news. He was all excited because they have a globalist that is currently the mayor. His name is Khan. And on Friday, which would have been 1 o'clock London time, on the day of the election, everybody was reporting. No, excuse me. It was the day after the election. I think the election was on Thursday. So noon on Friday, they're reporting that it appears the challenger, unlikely candidate, is going to be unseat the globalist mayor. And he's supposed to let me know how that turned out. Well, he didn't until this morning on Across the Pond. Last minute surge of mail-in ballots pushed the globalists to the win. And so Mayor Khan is still the mayor of London. All because of last minute mail-in ballots. How long can people allow this to go on?
The only thing I could think of is get down and dirty with them. Get your home printing press or something. I mean, this is nuts.
Yeah.
This is not the way it's supposed to be. So, yeah. Where do they've got them ready. You know, all of a sudden they shut the building down, send everybody home, and then they got film and 11 showing these people going around these big old heavy boxes of ballots that they brought in from where that were obviously already prepared. You know, even those mail-in ballots that they had stacked on that table, they should have ran them separate and saw what the ratio was.
Right.
Now, if the ratio was like the rest of it, 48, 49 or something like that, okay, that's legitimate. But if they were 99.99% Pinocchio Joe, I got a little trouble with that. Most of the mail-in ballots in Nevada at the time, until they opened the door, were rural people. And if anything, I was panicky enough the last two or three elections. I personally took my ballot into town and put it in the drop box in the county clerk's office, period. Now, if they molested it after that, I couldn't help it. But I felt more safe doing that than let it go through the regular postal system, either being lost. You know, voting is one thing that is so sacred to every American because it's about the last thing you've got left. And when you read things like Joe Stalin saying, let them vote, that doesn't matter. What matters is who counts the ballots.
So
I don't think he was a conservative Republican.
Currently, we have three counties in South Dakota that have announced they're going to count the ballots by hand and compare them to the ES&S machines they have. One county in South Dakota is not even going to use a tabulator and the ES&S machines. They're going to just count by hand. One county, Custer County in Colorado, I'm told on last week, announced they're going to count by hand. Is there any movement? You're a White Pine County commissioner. Is there any movement or discussion about at least counting them by hand to verify the vote that the state tells you you had?
Let's eat the elephant one bite at a time, but we did turn down unanimously the system that came out of Las Vegas. So, but we're not down to counting them by hand yet. And I hopefully we can get over that hurdle in the next few months. But because, yeah, we have restricted the balloting.
What was the system out of Las Vegas?
What do you think?
A software system with the Dominion machine and the B-Pro Total Vote software system?
Yep. And I went through my diatribe about seeing those ballots stacked on that table in Las Vegas.
Came oh, you mean that's not the first time you told late. It when you just shared it with us?
No.
Okay, I got 2 minutes.
That absolutely was astonishing.
Yeah. Okay, I got 2 minutes. Last week, you proposed that you were very convoluted because you continually see where the federal government with our property, our public land, coming and asking permission And you thought maybe we didn't have the whole story. Has there been any revelations for you in the past 7 days in that regard? Because I do not believe the federal government owns this land either.
Same old stuff, whether it's water rights or spending money on projects that gives sort of a right to the states. Well, if this is fair, like measuring the water in the different, here's an amazing thing. Measuring the water, we are charged in the county for the different people to go out and measure the water and where it goes and what it does. But Shazam in Snake Valley, which is on the Utah border, and Spring Valley, which is where the pipeline proposal has failed to this date, they don't even monitor it. Isn't that odd? But then you step over the hill to the next valley to the west, and they're monitoring it. But you have to go along with it because it shows the state has a right. If it has a right to the water, because it doesn't flow interstate, neither does Spring Valley, and I don't believe Snake Valley either flows into the ocean. There's no maybe interstate in Snake Valley because part of Snake Valley is in Utah. But yeah, just these little nuances that keeps these flashing red lights. Wait a minute. It's the Bureau of Land Management. It doesn't say the Bureau of Ownership of Federal Lands, but they beat that drum. They gaslight the American people. Federal lands, federal lands. No, it's state lands controlled by the federales. And whether we would be better off here in Nevada with the overbalance of population in Las Vegas, our assembly and Senate and locally is just totally controlled by Southern Nevada people, or Reno is a population explosion compared to the rest of the state. I don't know if we'd be ahead, but there is something intrinsically wrong for them to lord over, because they come to the county commission with their hat in the hand. But there are people on our county commission that never met a government program that they didn't love.
And that will be the final word of the day as we've successfully journeyed down the path connecting food producers, food consumers. Frank Hoagler, I'm Trent Lewis. Both of us reminding you that all roads do lead to a rural route. And that rural route should be a healthy one, and that's up to you. Started today, like I start every other day, with a nitric oxide supplement. NO2U.com, NO number 2 letter U.com. Dr. Nathan Bryan has all of the science and is posted directly for you. Full details, NO2U.com. Nitric oxide. It stimulates the cardiovascular system, it keeps everything working properly, and improves your brain. There is where we need help. NO2U.com. Order today.